Thank you and be seated, please. Again, let me add my word of welcome to worship this morning. And today is a special day in the life of our church because we're getting ready to go back to school. Let me hear it. Yay! I heard somebody say boo. No, it's a new school year. About 3 years ago, our assistant children's minister, Renee Jackson, had a great idea that she presented to the staff. Let's gather all the young people that are heading back to school and invite them to bring their backpacks to worship and have a service of the blessing of the backpacks, including getting a nifty backpack tag which says, "My backpack was blessed at Conyers First United Methodist Church." Get plugged in to the LiveWire ministry in 2012. And don't we have a wonderful collection of boys and girls? Would you stand, if you're a boy or girl here getting ready to go back to school, would you stand up, please? Apparently, one of the preacher's kids, Mr. Stanley, is having to show off this morning. This is Gavin, who belongs to Stanley and Stephanie Baker, and he just decided to come up on the stage, right, Gavin? And he has his personalized, and Gavin, I'm going to give this to you to give to your daddy to put on. Yeah. Now let's see how long you're going to hold that or what you're going to do with it. We'll see. I am so proud of these boys and girls. And as we prepare to go back to school, I'd like to offer a blessing to them and to all of the education professionals that are in this congregation this morning. Teachers, support staff, cafeteria workers, bus drivers, administrative staff. If you are a part of the education of our community, would you stand and let us recognize you? Do we have educators with us today? Excellent, excellent, excellent. You know, I am convinced that education has become one of the most challenging professions in our society. Teachers are underpaid, underrecognized, underappreciated, and in many cases, undersupported. I want each of you to know that the Conyers First United Methodist Church values the gift that you bring in shaping the hearts and minds of young people in our community. We thank God for you. Now, I'm all about biblical symbolism. And the Bible says over and over again, there's power at the right hand of God. In fact, where does the Lord Jesus sit exalted now? He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. When I baptize or I offer a blessing, I must always use the right hand. There's something in the Bible about the right hand conferring blessing. So as we pray for these boys and girls today, may I ask you to join me by simply extending your right hand, that God would grant His protection and His provision and His blessing on all of them. Lord Jesus Christ, You said, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for of such belongs the kingdom of God." We lift these boys and girls into Your presence today that they might have an excellent new school year. And Lord, we pray that as we bless them today, they would remember that they are loved and they are cared for. May their bag tag remind all of their friends that they are believers and that they are part of the family of God. So I pray Your great blessing of protection and provision upon them all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's give a hand for the boys and girls going back to school. We are so pleased this morning that Amanda Gilreath is leading us in worship. As our children head off to Sunday school, I invite you to rise again as we lift our voice in praise. Thank you and be seated, please. Again, it's a joy to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church. And we want to create an atmosphere for you where you can really feel connected with God and with others who care about the things that the people of God care about. Living a life of integrity and truth. Breaking free of that awful curse of selfishness. And finding joy, not so much in getting, but in giving for the sake of others. I hope you will find here a warm and welcoming congregation where you are valued not for what you are or who you are, but for whose you are. An unrepeatable miracle of God. And because we want to be connected, it would mean a lot to me if you would find the white connection card in your worship folder, an opportunity for us simply to connect together and see if there's a possibility that we might begin a relationship that will be a relationship of encouragement and hope. Fill out your card, if you will, hold on to it, and at the end of the message, I will be directing your attention to it again. I'm so proud of the Family Promise Ministry that our church is a part of, hosting homeless families in the life of our church. I believe this is the fourth time we will host homeless families here, and we have a new week, August the 5th, Sunday, August the 5th, the week of Sunday, August the 5th, we will have guests here in our church. I got a letter this week from the first family we hosted, and that first family was Christmas week of 2000, Gail, help me, 2011, Christmas week, the Brown family. Many of you got to know them. He is now gainfully employed and wrote a letter of thanksgiving to me and this congregation for helping give them a hand up in the midst of a very difficult moment in life. Thank you for having a heart that beats with those who are in need and loving them in Jesus' name. Thank you for that blessing. Inside your worship folder, you will notice a special letter written to me by Dr. Cindy Elrod. Cindy is the director of the Karen Counseling Center of Georgia, whose office is here at Conyers First. It's been my longtime dream to have a licensed professional counseling service associated with this church within a Christian context. And we are blessed beyond words with the heartbeat of love and the trained mind in Dr. Cindy Elrod. Next Sunday, as we come for Holy Communion, there's going to be an opportunity for you to make a special offering. It's our Good Samaritan offering. And this month, the Missions Committee has given us permission to use 100% of that special offering to help the Karen Counseling Center. How? Oftentimes, people in crisis are in crisis because they're in crisis. And many times that crisis is around resources or jobs or divorce or some challenge in life. And this offering will enable me to offer professional services to members of this church who are in need. So every gift that's given next week will help somebody on their journey to find healing and wholeness. I hope you'll join me in making a special gift. We live in a country that prizes, perhaps above all things, freedom of speech. We have had women and men fight wars to protect the gift of freedom of speech. We're in a bit of a controversy right now as a country over the concept of freedom of speech. And I have to tell you, I'm distressed. I'm even discouraged at what has happened. Many of us are familiar with the brand Chick-fil-A, and many of you are familiar with the brewing controversy. Dan Cathy, the chief executive officer of Chick-fil-A, made it clear that Chick-fil-A is run on biblical principles and that he and his company affirm the biblical concept of marriage as the foundation for our civilization. Best I can tell from reading the transcript, Dan Cathy did not say what he was against. Dan Cathy said what he was for, biblical marriage. I'm distressed beyond words that certain high-profile liberal mayors in our country have now decided that they are going to prevent Chick-fil-A from operating in their cities. Now, I thought liberal people, I thought this was the definition of a liberal person, broad-minded and open-hearted and thinking and caring about other people's position. I now see the true colors of some liberal people. Their mindset is not quite as broad-minded. I am distressed at what is happening in our country today. And I would like to invite you to join me in supporting the right of free speech, the right of a Christian businessman to simply say, we believe in a biblical definition of marriage. And perhaps you would be willing to join me on Wednesday, August 1st, by eating at Chick-fil-A. There are some of us that are hoping that that will be a record-breaking day at Chick-fil-A, simply saying, we believe in the right of free speech. We believe in the concept of biblical marriage. We're not telling you what we're against. We're not excluding anybody. We're not being ugly to anybody. We're simply saying we believe in the definition of biblical marriage. Hey, I'm for free speech. I zealously support the civil rights of all people, including persons who are in civil unions. I jealously support the civil rights of all people. But friends, without the biblical definition of marriage, we will, I believe, lose the blessing of God. Would you join me in supporting Chick-fil-A on Wednesday? As we come into God's presence today, we acknowledge that all of us have challenges and all of us have issues. And I found the strength of my life is in trusting God. King Solomon said it well, God's ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. I'm here today because I want God's thoughts. I want God's ways to shape and guide my life. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we come today with joy, believing that you have a great plan for each and every one of us. Not one of us here is an accident. Not one of us here is a mistake. And within your gift of providence, you have designed the human family as a place of mutual support and encouragement, and especially a place where children are reared to be loved and granted the gift of security and hope. God, I pray for our country today, caught up in all kinds of debate. God, would you give all of us liberal hearts to acknowledge the opinions of others and treat them with respect? Would you give us confidence as followers of Jesus Christ to stand for the positive statements about biblical marriage? God, we pray for our country today that you would grant us the firm foundation of our patriot fathers and mothers. In God we trust. We thank you for this great church and especially its liberal mission outreach to women and men of all kinds of circumstances, loving them in Jesus' name. God, I pray for continued provision that this might be a place of hope and healing and restoration, that this might be, as our Jewish brothers and sisters call, a shalom zone, truly a place of peace and hope. For the blessings that you've given us, for the privilege of another day to live, and for the sense that our life matters because we belong to you, we give thanks. We offer our prayers always and only in the strong name of Jesus Christ, praying together as he taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to prepare your morning offering. It is because you are faithful to honor God and make an investment in this hope-filled place that we can, among other things, minister to such a great group of kids. And I hope you noticed the diversity of those children. Did you notice the diversity of those children? And isn't that a good thing, to model the kingdom of heaven by the diversity of boys and girls? It's because of your faithfulness that we can host homeless families for a week at a time in this facility and work with the Family Promise Ministry of Newton and Rockdale County. As our ushers come forward with the offering baskets, I invite you to join me in offering your heartbeats of love in negotiable form. If I had that kind of stethoscope, I wish I did, and could place it up against your heart, what would the song of your heart beat? to what tune, to what idea, to what concept, to what loyalty would your heart beat and find its strength? This morning we're beginning a new 40-day church-wide teaching series based on the Lord's Prayer entitled Finding God's Heart. And my great prayer, my great hope in the 40 days that we spend together looking at the promise of the Lord's Prayer, that your heart will begin to beat differently, will take on a new song with a greater intensity, a song that speaks of trusting God's providence, trusting God's goodness for your life as your source of hope, as your source of confidence. And because you are trusting God, because you find your greatest security in Him, you can live life with a note of hope, of freedom, of generosity, of trust that you are in the Father's hand. And His presence in your life grants you a level of joy and contentment like you have never experienced before. I hope you have a copy of this helpful guidebook by Dr. Terry Teagle. He's a great renewal leader in the United Methodist Church. He's a Texan, so he already has a lot going for him. And I'd like for you to share in this study. Books are $5. They're available immediately after the worship service. For me, the theme, the central theme of this study on the Lord's Prayer, as Dr. Teagle gives it to us, is this. The trusting, developing a trusting, thankful heart marked by the gift of contentment based on God's character of providence. I love that Christian doctrinal word, providence. Let's think about it for a minute. What is the root of the word providence? To provide. And if nothing else in this series, I want you to come to grasp and claim that your Heavenly Father not only can provide for you, but He delights to provide for you. And the mark, I believe, in living in a state of God's providence is clearly the gift of contentment. I wonder how many of you would say that you're honestly content? Would you like to be a content person, at peace with who you are, flaws and all, at peace with the circumstances around you, as challenging as they may be, at peace knowing that God has a plan for you? It might not yet fully be revealed, but that every day you can live with hope. Contentment is one of the great promises from the Word of God. I like this idea about contentment, penned by Dr. John MacArthur. Contentment is a highly prized but elusive virtue. Though it comes only from being rightly related to God and trusting in His sovereign, loving, purposeful providence, people nevertheless seek it where it cannot be found: in money, possessions, power, prestige, relationships, job, or freedom from difficulties. But by definition, contentment is unattainable, for it is impossible in this fallen world to be completely free from problems. In sharp contrast to the world's understanding of contentment is this simple definition of spiritual contentment, penned by the Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs. Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Contentment is being at peace with yourself and your surroundings, regardless of the circumstances, because your heart beats differently. You respond to life from the inside out, not the outside in. God, through Christ, has worked the miracle of hope in your life. Our text for the service this morning was penned by someone who learned how to be content. In the midst of shipwrecks, in the midst of imprisonment, his friends turning his back on him, Saint Paul learned wherewith to be content. When he was full, when he was empty, when he abounded in blessings, and when he was just getting by one day at a time, he said, I have learned to be content. Our text from this morning is from Philippians chapter 4. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles with you, because you hold in your hands God's guidebook to a life that really has value and meaning and purpose and hope. Our text today is from Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10 and ending in verse 20. But I want to zero in specifically on verses 19 and 20. Listen to this hope-filled passage from a man who had received from God the gift of contentment. Saint Paul writes to you and me, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I want to be real clear that one of the real challenges that we have in today's life, society, is failing to distinguish between our needs and our wants. Does anybody here have somewhat of a struggle in determining the difference between the two? I am convinced that our society is cursed by a four-letter word. A four-letter word that I'm kind of embarrassed to speak. A four-letter word that I'm not sure that I should allow to pass my lips. It's a four-letter word that is keeping too many of God's people in utter bondage, feeling like they have been put upon, frustrated, unhappy, and discontent. May I speak to you? This damning four-letter word, more. We are consumed in our culture with the concept that more is better. And yet St. Paul, who lived much of his life with less, said, I have found the way to be content, and my God will fulfill all of your needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have time to look at these 10 verses, but I'd like for you to mark them, because five things come out of this great passage in Philippians chapter 4. Let me briefly give them to you. A contented person is, first of all, confident in God's providence, that God's character is to provide for his people. Secondly, a confident person is satisfied with little. Thirdly, a confident person lives independent from one's circumstances. That is, a contented person refuses to allow what happens to them to control their character, control their response. Fourthly, a contented person is strengthened by divine power. And lastly, a contented person is preoccupied with the well-being of others. That's all packed into Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. But I want to use these verses as a beginning today, because the Lord's Prayer, which is our study for these 40 days, says a lot about contentment and how we come to experience contentment. As I said from Philippians chapter 4, the first thing that we learn is that God delights to provide. And I want us to capture that theme and internalize that theme today. Now, as we work our way through this helpful devotional guide, our excellent director of spiritual formation, Robin Payne, who is truly a gifted teacher of the Word of God, suggests that as we read this guide together, we focus on three questions as we read each day. First of all, what does this day's reading say about God? His character, His heart. Secondly, what does this day's reading say about who I am? My need, my disconnect, my struggle. And thirdly, based on each reading, what should or could my response be? What positive, godly affirmation can I choose to claim as the guiding principle for my day? If you have been using the book in this first week, you'll notice that Terry Teekle does a really great job of being brief. And for a Methodist preacher, that's a gift. He writes just a few paragraphs based on a text, and then he makes it practical, first of all, through my declarations. Five or six first person, personalized statements of faith from the Bible. I have found in this last week great power in speaking aloud these four or five or six declarations, speaking faith from the Bible, internalizing it by hearing myself say it, processing it through my brain, speaking it out of my mouth, hearing it back in my heart, speaking biblical truth. Then he crafts a great personal prayer, kind of help you learn how to pray. And then a second prayer focusing not on my circumstances, but a second prayer praying for others and their challenges of life. I really like this outline that he gives us every day. So this week I decided to write my own affirmations, drawing on what Dr. Teekle says. So on the back of the outline, I want you to notice from each day's reading, using the guide that Robin Payne has given us such a helpful guide, in learning God's heart, discovering God's heart, and tuning our hearts to beat with confidence and trust. From day one, God is my loving Father, and that means I am not an accident. I love it the way oftentimes our African American friends say, God don't make no junk. I love that because it's true, and yet how many of us struggle with images, self-image issues, self-esteem issues? You need to affirm about yourself, I am not an accident. I am not a mistake. I am not second class. I am not a leftover. Why? I have value because I belong to God. He made me with a purpose. From day two, God is the giver of good gifts. And that means, because I belong to God, that I'm blessed with those gifts. I can be content with what I have. Maybe that's where your struggle is. Not so much self-image, self-esteem, but you've bought into the curse of more. You're struggling with the difference between need and want. From day three, God in Jesus Christ is my Savior. Before I acknowledged Him, He acknowledged me. Before I knew His name, He knew my name. Before I received Him as Savior, He had already given His life for me. God in Christ is my Savior, and that means I am forgiven and loved. No believer needs to live one more day under the curse of guilt or regret or fear of recrimination. No believer needs to live one more day under the curse of anger or envy or jealousy or just being mad at the world. From day four, God's ability is beyond my comprehension, and that means He can do anything in my life. So, I will respond with trust in His provision. The Lord's Prayer opens with a very important and very positive statement. What is that statement? Our Father, who art in heaven. Personalized presence. I wonder, how many of you had a good daddy? I mean, a really, 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 really good daddy. Anybody have a really, really, really good daddy? Now, what's so sad about that is I've done surveys over 25 years of ministry. When I say, who had a really, 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 really good mama? Hands of both hands. Glory, hallelujah, jumping up and down. When it comes to daddies, not the same. If you were blessed by a great dad, you are blessed. But for those of you who said you had a great dad, what are the attributes of a really great dad? I want to hear it. Speak loudly. Patience. Forgiveness. Loving. What? Firm. Buys you candy. Now I think you're talking about granddaddies, but that's all right. What are the other characteristics of a really, really great dad? I have a young man here who's just loving on his dad right now. I love it. Involvement. Where did your earthly father get those characteristics and attributes? From his heavenly Father. God wants to plant His fatherly presence in our dads. Men that we can count on and trust. Men who delight to provide for their families. Now, I know there are too many broken families that do not have that definition of a dad, but that is God's desire for the men in our lives. Have you seen the candid camera moments that many news stations are broadcasting of a military dad in uniform coming home and surprising his little boy or little girl? Maybe it's in the gym at school. Maybe it's at a gymnastics meet. Maybe it's on the baseball field. The little boy, the little girl, wasn't expecting to see his dad. His dad's been in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere deployed around the world. And suddenly there's that moment of recognition. It's my dad. And time after time, without fail, what does that little boy or little girl do? They throw themselves into the arms of their dads. And if you've got any kind of heart, your eyes well up. That's the kind of relationship that God our Father wants to offer you. And whether you had a good dad or not, whether father is a positive concept to you or a negative concept to you, we learn that God wants to be your father that you can trust, you can count on to provide for you. One into whose arms you want to throw yourself. From day 5, we learned, God is my, here's a little Hebrew for you, Jehovah Jireh. Now, if we're really speaking Hebrew, we have a Hebrew scholar present this morning. He was playing the guitar. J's are pronounced Y. So it's not Yah. So Yehovah would be the proper way to say it. And that means the Lord is my provider. I can count on God's ability to provide. But maybe more importantly, I can trust in His desire to provide. From day 6, God is faithful to me even when I am not faithful to Him. And that means I can trust His character. God is true to God's self. There is no shadow of turning with Him. I never need to worry that my Heavenly Father is not with me or for me. Day 7, God is Elohim. One of the terms used in the Hebrew Old Testament, in lieu of speaking God's formal name, Yahweh, Elohim is one of the descriptive words to define the Lord Almighty. And in this regard, God is the Creator. That means that God specializes in creating something out of nothing. He will and can make a way where there seems to be no way. I am never without hope, because God is making a way for me. I am believing through this study. I am believing through my own experience. If you can and will open your heart and live into the concept of the providence of God, the security that God, through Christ, faith in Christ, has you in His hand. He has a great plan for you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and wants to share the proceeds with you to provide for your needs, to give you confidence that you are not alone, and a measure of freedom, of hope, and St. Paul's gift of contentment. I hope you'll keep reading with me across these next 5 weeks. We begin tomorrow with day 8. Get quiet for a few moments. Read what Dr. Teagle has to say and say, what does this say about the character of God? What does this say about my need, my circumstance, my situation? And based on the matchless promise of God, how can I respond differently than I have responded before? How can I experience the gift of contentment? Hey, if I found that magic stethoscope on Main Street in Conyers, Georgia, and plugged it into the light pole and it said it was, invited me to lean on me, plugged it into some scrappy dog and heard it say, bad to the bone, put it up against some worn out old car and said, start me up. What would that stethoscope reveal about my heartbeat? The song of my life. what would it reveal about yours? That's something to think about. As we conclude our service this morning, I'd like to invite you to find your connection card once again, because on the back side is this great verse from Philippians 4:19, and I'd like to encourage you to read it aloud until you can memorize it. King David said, I have hidden your word in my heart, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Hey, may I encourage you to personalize scripture? I think I've got permission to do that. Maybe you could say it this way. And my God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. On the right-hand side is an opportunity for you to indicate a desire to find out what it really means to have a personal relationship with Christ. I'd be so honored to talk with you about how you can invite him to come into your heart. I'd be glad to talk about becoming a member of this great mission-minded church. We're still looking for a few women and men to help us hold the cross of Christ even higher over this community. Maybe you're looking for a place where you can be known by name, to quote the Cheers song. There are welcoming, warm Sunday school classes that follow this service every Sunday at 11 o'clock, where your questions will be honored and you will be welcomed. At the bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. I delight to pray for you on Tuesdays, lifting you by name and by need into the Father's presence. As the band plays quietly, I invite you to complete your connection card. Fold it over because it's no one's business, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. I thank God that he's never let go of me. And if you'll trust him with your life in Christ, he will never let go of you either. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and good morning.